I would pay so much money if the return of James Corden and Carpool Karaoke was Harry and Meghan.
You would pay, like, you would do a pay-per-view fee.
100%.
You would do like a wrestling pay-per-view fee for
absolutely. 1999 pay-per-view for James Corden and Harry and Meghan, and they're driving in their gated community in the Hollywood Hills somewhere. 1,000%. And so would all of you. Don't lie.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Lainey. I'm the founder of LaineyGossip.com. I am a talk show host here in Canada and an entertainment reporter, and I am desperately in need of a pedicure.
I'm Duana Taha. I am a television screenwriter and producer, and my idea of the future involves teleportation and no bras.
On this episode, we talk about the unroyal Harry and Meghan. What are they going to call themselves? Well, we happen to have a name therapist here to help us out with that.
I'm rolling out some ideas, but I'm more interested in what their big first move is going to be. And whether it's going to be a little take that, Dad, we talk about what it might look like.
And Jimmy Fallon has two secret weapons while he's broadcasting The Tonight Show from his home.
They are the great equalizer, and there's never been a more accurate picture of why stars are finally just like us.
Finally, she's 50, we think, and Mariah Carey keeps giving.
After seeing her on the star-studded concert on Sunday night, we have some questions about her geography and her wardrobe.
This is Show Your Work.
So, have you seen the video of Seth Rogen asking his Alexa to fart?
No.
So I guess he discovered this because he's Seth Rogen, and he asked Alexa to fart, and Alexa didn't just comply. She had many different versions to offer him and suggested, I mean, this is not a, you know, this is a, sometimes explicit word podcast, but not a dirty word podcast. So I'm not going to tell you all the versions.
No,
but
what? I want to know.
She would say, ask me to do a difficult one. Or she would say, would you like a random one? Say random. And he'd go, random. And she'd go, that was a poopy one.
Poopy or shitty?
No, she said the word poopy.
Oh, okay.
So what's even funnier is that when people were playing this video back, then their own Alexas responded. Like, heard Seth Rogen asking Alexa, like, do a fart. And their own Alexis heard it. So, and, you know, he addressed, like, I know we maybe should be worried about these things spying on us, but I can't care right now.
Right.
So I guess that's my question to you, other than, are you going to go buy an Alexa so that you can hear her poop or hear her fart repertoire?
No. But, I don't think, even though probably our phones are spying on us, I understand that. But the whole, I don't know, that home device thing and the spying, to me, I just divide it into different categories. And I talk too much shit at home.
Well,
as we all do.
As we all do. You should also know that when you ask Siri, like ask a HomePod to fart, she says, no comment.
Oh, how is she British?
Basically.
How fucking precious of her.
Yeah. Well, listen, who knew that this was going to be a selling feature of the Alexa?
Wait, so where did he post this?
On Twitter.
Okay. Like the whole exchange between him and Alexa?
Oh, yes. Like, it's like 90 seconds long. And it loops so seamlessly that before you know it, you're listening to her going through her whole repertoire of farts again. There are others. And she has really specific suggestions about what he should ask. Do you want to hear a difficult one? Do you want to hear a noisy one?
It's kind of amazing. Like, would this have happened if we weren't all staying at home?
Absolutely not.
Right.
Like, I mean, I maybe he would have discovered it, but would it have been considered? I mean, look, it would still have been appropriate Seth Rogen content, I guess. But would it have become the, like, small cultural moment that it has become?
You know, I should make clear that, like, of course, you know, none of this should be happening. Obviously, the loss of life and the illness is terrible. But I wonder, like, what crazy invention do you think is going to, like, come out of all this self-isolation? Or are we just doing stupid shit?
I think it's 90% stupid shit. I think that the underwire bra is going to be done. Because the whole reason that people wear underwire bras, which we all acknowledge are uncomfortable, is because there's a certain look you're supposed to have in public, right?
Right.
And you can't not do that when everybody else is sort of adhering to one standard.
I haven't worn an underwire bra in 7 years.
Okay, but you have boob privilege. We've talked about this.
I do not have boob privilege. I have big ones.
Fine. You have but the rest of you, are we going to do this? The rest of your aesthetic and physicality lends itself to the things that you wear that lend themselves to a flat boob look accomplished through a sports bra. Fine?
Okay.
My point is, now that everybody has almost certainly been without them for weeks on end, and what looks like weeks and weeks more, I strongly suspect that they're just going to fade out of fashion altogether.
Wait, aren't you doing, I thought you'd be the person who is doing the, what's that thing that people are doing on Sundays now? Have you heard about it?
I don't know if I have.
Or it's some people are doing formal Friday and some people are doing, it's a something something on Sundays. Here, let me tell you exactly what it is. It is a thing that people are doing on Sundays where, they're saying, oh, I'm distance, but make it fashion on Sundays. So I feel like you're constantly like, sometimes when I house party you 3 times a day, you're in a different outfit each time.
Sometimes that's true. But I'm more into I'm definitely like pulling out the shoes that are too uncomfortable and too expensive to actually wear in the world that I long ago stopped wearing for actual out-of-doorsness because they can't sustain a whole night out or whatever. I like to wear those with a pair of, you know, pajama pants that have different colored reindeer. I like the mix of we're making this combination happen in a way that it would not happen out-of-doors. But that was my initial answer to what inventions. I think this is going to be the end of the underwire bra. In the history book, in grade 9 history in 100 years, that's going to be one of the things. What else? I'm not sure.
I wonder if we're all going to become experts at self-grooming.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true too. Like the number of things that I've seen people say they are taking on or trying that they never would have dared. I really enjoy a home haircut myself. But a lot of people are squeamish about that. And I feel like they're beginning to take that on. I guess it'll be about, what matters and what doesn't. But I really thought you were aiming at like one particular invention of some sort. Like you had a particular thing in mind.
Oh, I don't have anything in mind. I'm just really curious about like the big invention. Like finally someone's going to actually do a real life, I don't know. Invisibility cloak.
Well, it's funny you say that because we were talking about the other day about, you know, when you used to watch like sci-fi shows as a kid and they would just have a pocket computer, or the reference always is Penny and Inspector Gadget had that book that she could do anything and make anything work from. And you're all like, yeah, that's not real. We now have all of those things, obviously. A phone is a tiny computer that can do all of those things, except teleportation. Still don't have that. Whether you want to talk about it in a Harry Potter, apparating kind of way, or a sci-fi, like your body turns into sparkly air, Star Wars kind of way. Teleportation is the one thing we don't have. So, yes, I'm waiting on somebody to come up with that.
All right. So at the end of isolation, when we've flattened or planked the COVID-19 curve, someone will be able to teleport. Let us know. Okay, so the work has not slowed down. I was a little bit worried. I was maybe 15% worried that when all this happened, I was like, what are we going to write about every day? Is there going to be enough celebrity gossip and celebrity news? Lo and behold, not that we needed any confirmation, but it turns out that during isolation, celebrities desperately need attention and will create their own stories.
Surprise that.
Yeah. And the royal news has not slowed down. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle once again in the headlines.
Well, let me pause you for a second there, because as we speak, obviously, as always, we record a day or two before our podcast goes up. But, as we speak, Boris has been diagnosed with COVID-19.
Bojo has the Rona, as I said.
Prince Charles allegedly has begun to recover. Is that what we're hearing?
Supposedly, he's out of isolation, which, it was only confirmed a week ago that he had it. So I guess they delayed it a week before, revealing it.
Right. And usually this is the kind of thing I would ask you at the end of a conversation, but I'm going to just hit you with it right away. Do you think that part of this Harry and Meghan story and drama is to distract people? I just heard a big something. Is that something?
What you heard is a dog shaking his head and flapping his ears back and forth. This is homework reality. The dogs will interject much more, and so will children.
Right. Fair enough. Certain children are barred from the place, but that doesn't mean much. ask me in an hour. So my question to you is some of this Harry and Meghan news and business as usual being used to distract people from, all of our supposed leaders are possibly desperately indisposed?
I'm going to say no, even though I always like a good conspiracy. And the reason why is because today is April 1st. And today has always been the first day of the Sussexes being non-senior members of the royal family. This was decided weeks upon weeks upon weeks ago, well before we knew that there would be a worldwide shutdown because of COVID-19. And although, I like to give credit to pretentious British royals and aristocracy for a lot of things, I will not give them credit for having the foresight to predict that on April 1st, 12 weeks ago when they decided this, that the world would need some sort of distraction from world leaders contracting the virus.
So why then was it April 1st? What was or is the significance of that date?
So the significance was that you remember Harry and Meghan returned to London for their final weeks or final engagements as senior royals. And one of those engagements was Commonwealth Day. It was March 9th.
Sure. The farewell tour.
That's right. So they went back to London for the farewell tour for, their final commitments. And so I think that it was always intended that week to be their last in London. So March 9th was a Monday. Let's call that Friday would have been the 13th, and then 2 weeks out from there, right? Mm-hmm. Is a good clean end and beginning. So March 31st being their last day as senior royals, and then April 1, see you later, goodbye, you're off on your own.
Great. So April 1st starts their new life.
Yeah.
And so much was made several times back in the day, and then more recently when they dropped the hammer on their new plans, of Sussex Royal and that brand and that website and so forth. And so part of what's happening is that they're not going to be called Royals anymore. True?
True. So they're not allowed to use Royal in their branding, right? Because even though technically, especially Harry, is still Royal, like he is still sixth in line to the throne. It hasn't changed the order of succession. So wait, can he I pause is you? Still royal.
But why hasn't it changed the line of succession? If in fact he has stepped out of royal life and all the rest of it, why is he still that guy?
It's birthright. I mean, he was born, period.
Sure. But then he's not royal until they say he's royal. Isn't that the case?
Listen, they said that, you know, the bosses of the British royal family said, you can't call yourselves royal, I guess, for commercial reasons. Aha. But on a technicality, in terms of birthright, yes, the blood coursing through your veins is royal. And therefore, in the British line of succession, you remain sixth in line to the throne and still a prince. Therefore, technically, you're still royal. He is still royal.
Fine. So then what we're learning here is it's just about you can't use the word royal to promote yourself.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So Elaine, here's the thing though. That seems like it is how do I put this? It seems as though the people who are saying you can't use it think that that's going to be a much bigger fuck you than it actually is. Is there any world in which not using royal anymore is going to cause Harry or Meghan any problems?
I don't know that will it reduce for, I think what you're getting at is, does it mean that suddenly we won't care about them anymore?
Or look, I mean, I think what we're about to talk about and have been hinting around is like, what are their business concerns? How are they going to make money is something everybody wanted to talk about a few months ago, right?
Yeah.
But there's nothing I can think of that is coming at them or that was a potential business deal that will go away because they can't use the word royal anymore.
Correct. True. I agree with you. There's still Harry and Meghan. You know, there is no other sort of celebrity and famous couple to rival their dazzling star power right now. I mean, we don't have a brand anymore. You know, all of that, right? So there's still a couple of intrigue, perhaps the couple that is most intriguing. So to your point, one word, does it make a difference? I don't think so. I think this is family politics and bitch politics, whatever. But I do think it is interesting that they have to rebrand. Like they have shut down essentially their Instagram. They mm-hmm. have shut down their website. Both will remain up but inactive. So they will no longer, like, it's so weird to me because, you know, I think we've all seen examples of you can keep an Instagram account, so you can keep all the pictures, but instead of calling yourself Molly, you can change the word to Mulligan.
Right. Yeah, sure.
So in theory, it could have been that they kept the grid, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And instead of Sussex Royal, they could have changed it to the Sussexes, whatever.
Yes.
But they are not doing that. They are no longer posting on that Instagram account. SussexRoyal.com or whatever it was, their website, is now going to stay up, but it will no longer be active.
And that's the archive.
That's right. So now they're going to start from scratch, like an entirely new grid on Instagram and an entirely new website with a different name. So it could be Sussex Fun or Sussex Glam, Hollywood Sussex, whatever the case may be. So this is your realm. A lot of it is the naming.
Yes, of course. And that's why, I mean, what was the event that he did a few weeks ago, still under the banner, when he was back? Maybe it was the trip that he took where she didn't come. And he did an event and he was like, please just introduce me as Harry.
Yeah. I think that was the Wellchild Awards.
Yes.
Yeah.
So obviously they've been prepping for this. I can see a world in which, you know, Harry and Meghan is all they need. They're never going to need surnames. They're never going mm-hmm. to need anything in particular, right? And I guess Sussex technically is a title that was bestowed on them, right? So even if they get to keep those things, you can tell me about what they get to keep or not keep or whatever.
Oh, so, okay. So are you saying that they go by like the, you know, the Oprah and Beyonce and the one name?
Who are they going to be confused by? If somebody says Megan is coming, what is the situation in which you're like, Megan Trainor? Really?
Fox.
Megan Kelly, maybe, but still. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry is coming. Yeah, I can see a world in which absolutely they are just Harry and Megan. And, you know, it allows them to not have to come up with some sort of wacky surname that they won't really use, you know, like a hipster couple who decides they're going to form a new name with our new family.
So that is the name therapist recommendation, the new institute. So harryandmegan.com.
That's my supposition. Yeah, that's what I think will happen. Whether or not, I don't know what Sussex gives them, if in fact they are trying to build a world in North America, in LA, which we all suspected would be the case, right?
Yep. Right. I mean, we're Canadian and love Canada, obviously. We live here, but we were like, I want to bless your heart at us, you know, that Canadians actually thought that this would be the place.
I'm sure it can be a place. It can continue to be a actually people don't bother us here. And, you know, especially in, I mean, these, as you say, are unprecedented times. So it really doesn't matter where they are per se. But yeah, they were always going to go somewhere that was more substantively not associated with the family in any way, right?
Yeah, and also where the action is. I mean, all due respect to Vancouver Island, I used to spend a lot of time, you know, on Vancouver Island, and I love it there, but it's not like, it's not the nucleus of anything in terms of that kind of activity.
Specifically, like celebrity activities, speaking engagements, whatever it is they're going to be doing.
Nobody thirsty, and let's be honest, Harry and Meghan are thirsty. Nobody thirsty is going to live in Vancouver Island.
Right.
Or on Vancouver Island. I mean, God, yes, on Vancouver Island.
One of my favorite games, though, as you well know, is the real estate game. And so there's also a conversation to be had about LA and where do you live for Archie, for that baby, that he's not constantly being, you know, they're not going to live off Melrose somewhere.
Right.
It's going to need to be secluded in some way. So in line with my my theory about bras going out the window, we know there are so many points of protocol for royals, right? So many things that they have to do that maybe, you know, famously Meghan allegedly got in trouble for opening her own car door. What do you think are going to be the first things that they're going to throw out the window?
Well, I think that already, to your point, they signed off on their final Instagram post on Sussex Royal as Harry and Meghan. That is already a thing.
Great.
So it's the salutation bullshit, like bow and lift a pinky and curtsy and I don't know, all that crazy business.
I like that nobody will be required to bow to them.
Yeah. Or on those curtsy occasions or whatever.
When they still go home, they still have to home to his home. They still have to obey all those protocols.
I think so.
Of course, yeah.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I don't think Meghan's ever going back there. Or, like, I can't imagine she'd be. I think it's going to be quite rare.
Well, okay. I was more going along the lines of, you know, they have arcane rules about pantyhose and things.
Yeah, that is black nail polish, lots, all the time. Or, yeah, nail color, pantyhose. I think we already saw it during the farewell tour. I mean, her makeup was dialed up a little bit. Didn't you notice that? Right.
I did notice that, yeah. But I don't think I knew until now that there was a restriction on nail colors. So that's entertaining.
Well, I mean, there was just some bitching about nail color. I don't know that there's an official restriction. Maybe something like, I don't know, can she wear some stilettos?
Right, as opposed to a sedate heel? Maybe. Yeah. And then I guess here's the thing. Here's my question to you. Well, you said, I don't know if she's ever going back there. I mean, let's cut to the big moment. Are they going back for the coronation? When and if Charles is made king? They're going, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But until then, are there things a la we're signing off as Harry and Meghan? Like, I think what the vibe is, this is what's most interesting to me. The vibe has been, hi, we're Harry and Meghan, and we're being very reasonable about all of this. We just want to live a different life, and all the grown-ups need to get fussed about all their protocols, but we're fine, we whatever. Are we going to see any pettiness from them? Because, I mean, Meghan had a blip of being a royal, right? But mm-hmm. this is Harry shucking off 37-odd years of life, right?
Yeah.
Is there going to be anything that is a thumbing your nose, rubbing it in kind of action?
Depends on what you consider petty. Like, I think one of the statements has been, you know, in terms of their announcing they're no longer Sussex Royal and this and that and the other, there's a new chief of staff. And in their communication about all this, they said something along the lines of, hey, so from now forward, no royal communications reps will act on behalf of the Sussexes, including palace spokespeople, household representatives, nor royal sources. So they're basically taking a direct shot at any time you see, according to a palace spokesperson or according to a household representative from the palace or according to a royal source, none of that shit applies to them. They're not talking to those people. Those people do not speak for them. Those people are not their insiders. Do you consider that petty?
It's like it's a level 2 on a scale of 10 shady, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking more on the range of the woman that we really loved, whose name escapes me, who interviewed Prince Andrew.
Emily Maitlis.
Right. She was obviously extremely carefully vetted and, you know, got an interview that a lot of people would not have gotten and so forth, right? I'm wondering if, you know, is one of the first interviews, I don't know, Jada Pinkett's Red Table Talk on Facebook. Is it? Or, like, are they going on Instagram with Miley Cyrus? Like, what other protocols are they going to break that were important enough for them to break this whole protocol in the first place?
Oh, fuck. I would fucking love that so much if it was, like, something random like Emily Maitlis. Or, sorry, not Emily Maitlis, Miley Cyrus.
Right.
But I think that the obvious usual candidates apply, right? Oprah, Ellen, Gail.
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, do they give their first interview from the deck of Beyonce and Jay-Z's yacht and everybody's in bikinis?
Please, please, please. Can you imagine?
I hope. Of course I hope. But I also have to believe that in order for them to have made this big, a giant move to have set the world on fire, they're not then going to continue to be the way the Sussexes would be, just without the title and the protection, right?
Yeah.
They obviously want to play some pretty big cards that they had to trade for. I'm out of my gambling lingo depth here, but obviously they're going to want to do something big in order to make all this worth it.
Okay, so make your prediction. You already made a prediction about the naming, or at least a recommendation.
Right. Well, listen, I'm asking you, this is where I'm supposed to have the inside track because I get to speak to you hourly. You're the one who's supposed to be telling me whether or not any of this is feasible. My prediction is that the first big interview is going to be with somebody unpredictable. Like, okay, Miley Cyrus is too far, but is it Trevor Noah? Is it, somebody who is outside of the generally accepted fold?
So, okay, let's break this down. Obviously, nobody is interviewing anybody in person until quarantine is lifted, right?
Yes, correct. But I would say that in a month's time, people are going to have figured out how to monetize a quarantine interview in a way that they haven't right now. And that could be a huge, huge deal, right?
I agree. And yet I think that for them, I think that the first interview that they do is definitely going to be an in-person. Like, I can't see them doing a FaceTime interview.
Okay,
as the first thing.
Let's say that that's true then. That means they have, sorry, everybody, at least 6 months, maybe a lot more, to wait for that interview.
Okay. So in person, after the virus has been planked.
Yep.
Who is it?
I mean, look, it's, I don't know. Are they going to go to the highest bidder? Because they could. Obviously, as you said, it's Oprah, it's Gail, they drag Barbara Walters out of retirement. I don't know. It's easy for it to be a big, big name in that way. I think they want something else. I think their whole brand is, hey, we're young and we're not like everybody who's come before us. So I don't know, man. Like, I would pay so much money if it was, you know, if the return of James Corden and Carpool Karaoke was Harry and Meghan.
You would pay, like, you would do a pay-per-view fee.
100%.
You would do like a wrestling pay-per-view fee for
absolutely. 1999 pay-per-view for James Corden, Harry, and Meghan, and they're driving in their gated community in the Hollywood Hills somewhere. 1,000%. And so would all of you. Don't lie.
That's a really okay. I love that. Coming back down to earth.
Uh-huh.
A realistic prediction.
I don't mind my Trevor Noah idea because he walks that weird line of being a comedian, but being informed about world issues, but he's not as caustic as John Oliver would be in the same situation. I'm sure there's a world where Ronan Farrow gets that interview. I don't know.
I'm thinking maybe Michelle Obama.
Interesting. Now, just for the sake of argument, how does that benefit Michelle?
I don't know. I think that Michelle and Barack Obama have, or I think the Obama Foundation has a summit every year.
Mm-hmm.
So it would certainly benefit the organizers of the summit. One moment.
Well, and of course, Barack and Michelle, the people, have a massive television and film development deal.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
With
Netflix.
Thing. Yes. So that's a world in which that could be mutually beneficial.
Right.
I would also accept that. The four of them sitting around, in the like Martha's Vineyard house that they'd rented for the occasion.
And do Malia and Sasha make cameos?
No, I think it's I think they laugh about it. Like, oh, Malia and Sasha didn't want to be here. They're off with their friends. And then we have a shot of Archie where they're like, oh, ha, 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 only 17 years before that's our boy. And he like plays blithely on the lawn.
Would you pay $19.99 for it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I get to own it in this sense? I know nothing about wrestling pay-per-views.
No, you don't.
Do I get to play it back?
It's a one time. I actually don't know if you get to play the wrestling back. Like, there are some things where you get to access it for 48 hours.
Right.
But I'm not sure. Like, it's been a long time since I've ordered a wrestling on pay-per-view.
Well, maybe you need to get on it. This is research.
Okay. So I guess the benchmark that we've decided is what we would pay $19.99 for.
That's correct. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I await, and you're right, that COVID-19 has interrupted the get-along of all of this rollout. But I suspect there's going to be a fuck you of some sort, some fuck you of protocol for people to wring their hands over as Harry and Meghan laugh from the relative safety of a house in Brentwood or similar.
I will say that I hope so. Like, I hope that this is a like this is gearing up towards a fuck you, because obviously that's more fun for us. But it also shows like after you've pulled a move like this, why do you have to follow rules? And if you're not going to follow rules, you might as well make new rules or new, like you might as well carve out literally a new path.
Exactly. Or the other version of that being, if you're in trouble with your mom and dad and you've already missed curfew or whatever it is.
That's right.
You may as well have as much fun as you can.
Stay out all night.
Exactly.
That said, so with that in mind, I don't love some of the moves they've already made because I don't think that that is breaking curfew all the way. So they, for example, have retained the services of Sunshine Saks. Sunshine Saks is a PR firm quite established in Hollywood. They rep like Leonardo DiCaprio, Ben Affleck. I believe Justin Timberlake is in there or was. I haven't checked on his representation lately. And it's a bit old school. You know, think about the actors they represent, right? Quite traditional. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio isn't doing anything fucking creative with his PR.
No, they've been part of the system for a long, long time.
That's right. Now, she was with Sunshine Saks when she was acting, so I understand that there's an established relationship there, and yet they have processes that are institutionalized, right? Not as institutionalized as the British royal family, but we're not talking about outside-of-the-box PR.
Well, what I like about it, though, I mean, I started coming around more when you said that she used to be her PR, which I like. I also like that, sure, it's not outside of the box PR, but Harry and Meghan are about to have outside of the box positions, outside of the box in Hollywood and outside of the box for royals, right? So I appreciate that you might need somebody who can tap real traditional streams to make that seem legitimate.
I will see. I don't love some of the moves that were made so far. They're a little bit old school. I don't love going to People Magazine for everything. I don't love that their second to last Instagram post had no follow through before they cut that shit off. Like it was completely unstrategic. You know, their second to last Instagram post last week was a guide to how to like make it through the pandemic. So like wash your hands and check for this and check for that. And then in the caption, it was like, we will be posting more information about COVID-19 going forward. The next post is, hey, the end, we're not posting on this Instagram anymore.
Right. A little messy.
Like messy. And if I had to guess, like, I mean, we will never know, but if they're being advised on PR and counseled on PR, that whole PR team has to wear that. Meghan and Harry have to wear it, and also whoever is doing their publicity. It's a little bit sloppy. It's not as Beyonce. How about that?
Yeah, I hear you on that. I get that. And yet I'm almost ready to be defendy again and say we can't expect there will be no growing pains.
No, and that's what I hope, that they'll take this time during isolation and lockdown to really fine-tune the strategy, right? I mean, the last few months have been tumultuous, some of the things they couldn't have anticipated. So, of course, when you're dealing with a moving target all the time, or you feel like you're the moving target, you can't necessarily make really great and strategic decisions. But now that you have the time, it is a reset. Then actually take that time and come out with something fucking amazing.
That's the expectation. That's why this is still such a conversation. Everybody wants, after all this, something big. Nobody knows what that will be and whether or not it will be pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But everybody wants something big. Yes?
Right. And, you know,
our small brains can't conceive of it?
No. What is the word I'm looking for? Our gold standard for make it worth waiting for would be homecoming. Would be the Beyonce Coachella. Beachella. And
yeah, okay.
And so it's about, oh, okay, this is the thing. We had to postpone it by a year because she got pregnant with twins. we know you're capable of this. And then we find out that this is all the rehearsal time that was required, the 3 sound stages, 200 people, a pyramid, all that stuff. You were working underground. We didn't see it. We knew, but you know, we knew you were plotting it. So given that we know you're plotting it, Harry and Meghan, then when it happens, deliver.
Right. But I guess the difference is we have no idea what that delivery is going to be. Is it a show? Is it an interview? Is it a series of middle grade novels that are thinly veiled about their lives? I'm really curious about which avenue they strike into first and how it's going to set the tone for everything that comes after.
You are more cheery than me about it.
Yeah, I'm waiting to be surprised. Yeah, for sure.
And me too. I want to be surprised and I want us to be fist pumpy about it because it would be the best haha. You know what I mean?
Yes. And that I think is what we're getting at here.
Yeah.
After having pulled such a big move, after having stayed out all night and missed your curfew, you got to have a big haha.
That's right. So make it a big haha. Don't half-ass this shit.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, so week after week, or sorry, episode after episode, since we're doing multiple episodes a week lately, we have been at least, we've been talking about how all kinds of business streams in Hollywood have been adjusting to the new reality of staying at home, working from home. In late night, they're all kind of beginning to come back now. Some of them are doing monologues every night, and then they're Skyping in with their friends. And they're starting to develop a rhythm. And over the last 3 years, Jimmy Fallon and The Tonight Show have been losing ground to Colbert and The Late Show, steadily losing ground in the ratings. Then COVID-19 and the lockdown happens. And I would say in recent weeks, at least, Fallon has been kind of outdoing Colbert, and he has 2 secret weapons.
Aha. Go on.
His 2 secret weapons. I mean, it's been what, 4 or 5 episodes of The Tonight Show so far, with Jimmy doing his monologue thing and his usual bits, but at home, filmed by his wife and his 2 daughters are assisting him. I'm putting assisting in quotes because I don't know that they're, it's like that this is what Jimmy wanted. It's just that there was no choice. He's at home, they're at home, and there's no way to keep those 2 little girls out of the shot.
Right. So you may as well have them in it.
That's right. And people are loving his children. I mean, they are hilarious. And his reaction to them, I mean, it's killing me. And I don't necessarily like watching kids, but it's just so funny to me because even if this is a bit and they're kind of riding, what's your expression? Ride the horse in the direction that it's going.
Right.
It's working for me so far.
Well, I suspect the reason that it's working is because, you know, we rarely see kids on TV who are not coached, who are not scripted, right?
That's
right.
Even
if he had them on before, even if there was a bit, there's a whole industry that's organized around how to get kids and pets to do the things you want them to do on TV. But one of the reasons that I am so excited by what's happening on Fallon is that that's what reality looks like. So regardless of how rich the celebrity, they've all correctly had their help, had their assistants and nannies and whatnot stay at home, right?
Yeah.
Those people are not there.
No.
Ergo, the kids want to be where you are.
Yep.
Unless you want them to be where you are, in which case they don't want any part of it.
No.
So that's a part that is so realistic and so attractive because it's realistic. The other thing that makes it so goddamn refreshing is that those kids could give a shit.
No, you're right. Because sometimes when kids show up on TV, they're the performery kids and there's that weird, you know, they're too
aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These two are not that.
No.
Francis and Winnie, by the way, are their names.
Yes.
These two are not that. They are actually, for them, they're just doing their thing.
Well, and it's also compounded. I don't know if they would be that if they went to the set of The Tonight Show, where I'm sure they've been before, right? But it's like, a million people and like lots of shiny lights and things like that, and maybe dad looks a bit different than usual. This is literally happening like at the bottom of the stairs at their house. Yes. In the backyard in their tent. Mom is holding the camera.
Yeah,
like,
and laughing, and the camera shaking while she's laughing
because there's no reason that they should have to behave.
Yeah.
And, you know, I you said, and I agree, that he's sort of getting sort of frustrated at times with yeah. them. But that is very, very normal. And as a result, very endearing. Because I'm like, the worst, it would be worse if you were, sit down, stop that. Like, that'd be awful. And not what you want to see. But the alternative is, well, okay, they're just going to wander over there with that iPad that I gave them as a soundboard. So the best laid plans. It's the very one, humanizing.
The most recent one I watched was the two of them were supposed to help him do this bit that he did. I think he like writes thank you notes. And one of them just kept pressing the button randomly when she wasn't supposed to. And then eventually she left. So he seemed relieved for about 30 seconds until mm-hmm. she went upstairs to do whatever. And he's trying to finish off his thing. And then you can hear the pounding where whatever, she's either jumping on the bed or jumping off the bed or slamming the walls. And he looks to the camera that his wife Nancy is holding. And it's the eyes of like, kill me now. It's and the eyes that he wanted to die.
Right. And here's the thing about that. As a parent, I guarantee you he's exchanging that look with his wife in the exact same way when the camera is off as well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, look, I love my child more than life itself. We're not meant to spend all this time together. We're not meant, all of us, to never have any time from one another. My pain.
You look like Jimmy Fallon right now.
Like, my pain, some of you on Twitter know this a little bit, is Beyblades. They are plastic and metal items that need to be ripped loudly and obnoxiously onto the floor many, many dozens of times a day. And let me assure you that that's going to go on whether I'm doing a podcast or not. If I was live across America tomorrow, there'd still be goddamn Beyblades on the floor.
Right.
It is a coronavirus joy that children could give a shit about what's happening. They're just like, yeah, okay. And they don't care about whatever the hell his job is. What are you, telling jokes into a phone?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And of course, the OG of this is that a professor who was doing that interview on BBC.
Oh, bless.
And he lives in South Korea. And his daughter and son crashed the interview. And
very, very important and dry interview that he was doing with BBC about like right. world politics. And then, yes, his daughter, Marion, basically my patron saint.
Strolls jauntily into the room, as you said, could give a shit, and is like, oh, hey, what's up? And then, of course, the comedy just kind of layered itself on top of each other. Like, the layers of comedy just came quickly because then mom came into the room and tried to grab the kids, and then as soon as she closed the door, they were screaming. It was right. like, let me back in! So that's kind of the OG of this. And that was accidental and meant to be like, oh, hey, sometimes this happens for people who work from home. Now everybody is working from home. And this is the kind of thing that's happening millions of times a day, probably on Zoom and on live television, over Skype and FaceTime, on Good Morning America or The Today Show or CNN or wherever people are working from.
Right. In a way that it never has, because of course, yeah, if you ever did do a segment for some reason at home with Jimmy or at home with whomever before and now, there would have been many, many helpers, staff, whomever, who would have kept everybody safely away from the shooting environment, right?
That's right.
All the respect of quiet on the set is gone.
Yep.
All the elements of, oh, well, we're privileged enough to have extra help. Gone.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They still live in their palaces and they, you know, have privileges the rest of us cannot imagine. I'm not saying that. But on a sheer day to day, 24/7 with your children level,
yeah,
they're just like us.
Well, I work on a talk show. We went back on the air this week. And off the top, Melissa Grello, our moderator, said, hey, listen, we're working from home. The technology might not hold up in terms of, you know, our screens might freeze. The audio might go in and out. This is the reality. Children might run into the shot. Pets might run into the shot. And, you know, the first 10 minutes of the show featured in my shot in the corner, one of my dog's asses. That's where...
Sure.
That's where he chose to sit.
Right.
He moved eventually. But yes, in the corner of my shot was a dog ass and a dog tail.
Right.
He, thank God, like I'm waiting for this to happen. Dogs, as we know, groom themselves. They lick their private parts.
Sorry, sorry, sorry. We've been doing this podcast for 3 odd years. You've said every filthy thing I can think of. But for private parts, you had to stammer and go polite all of a sudden?
Fine. My dogs love fucking going to town on their dicks.
There we go. That's the woman I know.
And I don't know. I'm waiting for it where one of them will just like climb behind me and decide that now would be the time when we're rolling to go to town on his dick. Right. I can't stop that. In a studio, I can stop it. He's not invited to the studio. But yeah, I can't stop it.
No, and it would be worse if you were, you know, strategically holding up your hand to block it or waving to make it not the case. I mean, you just got to let that play out and let this novelty of being at home be, you know, what we get to enjoy.
So on a, like, I don't know, to get real fucking philosophical, do you think that this period of working from home, who knows how long it's going to last? I mean, you just threw out a 6 months just now and scared people.
Sorry.
Let's say optimistically we're back at work in June in North America.
Uh-huh.
Optimistically.
Uh-huh.
So that's 3 months of working from home. Will that be enough to sort of establish certain habits or relax certain standards? You know how you talked about how Meghan and Harry won't have to like fucking wear pantyhose and he might be able to wear sneakers with a suit. Will we get less precious and rigid about perfection?
In what version of things?
I don't know. Like, let's say we go back onto, let's say that the Tonight Show resumes production in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like a picture frame is off center.
Right. No, I think that will still be something that people will correct because they can't. I think that the small things that can be changed, you can change, you know, we're shooting your house when you go live every day, but you can arrange what's in that shot. You can make that sort of YouTube perfect environment if you want to. What I hope does change is that this has established beyond a shadow of a doubt for anybody, for everybody, that we all have families. We all have stuff to worry about, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who don't have children are running out to take parents groceries and you know, help neighbors or have dogs who need to lick their own dicks or whatever. I hope there will be less of, I think everybody will be excited to be at work and focused at work. But I think if your workday is interrupted by your family or your life, if you have a phone call, if there's a problem and somebody's sick and you have to stay home, that there will be less of a stigma about that.
Yeah.
Because that has been a thing that has been plaguing people. And by people, of course, I mean women, for a long, long time. That's the joke that you and I have had about, I need a wife. I think that this has allowed people to see that people can be as functional as possible, but also have to deal with the other elements of their life, whether that's children or parents or other, you know, or spouses or whomever who need care and attention. And I hope that part goes away. The stigma, that is. What that looks like, I don't exactly know, but I certainly hope there are more relaxed attitudes around working from home and taking a sick day and that kind of thing. On the other hand, no, I think people are going to be dressed up to the nines once they go out and get to look at other humans again.
I have to say that's like the one thing, if we can say that there's one thing, is I haven't, like, elastic waistbands have been like 24/7 has just been really like, I'm afraid right now of my closet.
I mean, I think that's okay. It's talk to me in a couple of months when it's shorts time and, you know, you're starting to enjoy your cute summer looks, even if the dogs are the only ones who get to see them. And then we'll see what we see.
Okay. So speaking of working from home, the iHeart Living Room concert featured all performers performing from home.
Right. Sunday night.
Yep. On Fox. Yep. Raising money for COVID-19 healthcare workers and relief. Very good cause. We were excited about it because we thought if it was going to be real live, then, you know, work porn and hilarity would ensue. It was pretty safe. Most of it pre-taped, we can say.
Yes. As you point out, the only live part maybe was switching from one pre-taped segment to the next.
That's right.
Which you're less worried about there's less of an element of kids and dogs in that scenario.
I mean, certainly the performers themselves performed like in an unedited way, but they still had the opportunity for sure to do it like 5, 6, 7 times to get it like the way they wanted it to before they uploaded it to whatever Dropbox and sent it over to Fox.
For sure.
Okay. But still, there were some moments.
Uh-huh.
Mariah Carey being one of them, of them.
If you're going to start there, then Mariah Carey's the only guest.
Well,
look, I thought she did well, first of all.
Yeah, she sounded great.
Uh-huh.
In her home studio, where the acoustics are perfectly lined up for her.
Right, but she was also singing live, unlike some.
Yep.
So
would you like to spend a couple of minutes on the some?
No, because I couldn't even, I didn't see all of the segments. So I don't want to malign one group of five people unfairly. Because maybe other people also sang to a track that they made in fucking 1999.
No, those were the only ones.
It was so bad. I was mad. What's the point?
Everybody else was singing, not from a track.
Oh, it wasn't even a different track. It wasn't even like the track of I Want It That Way that was recorded for some other benefit in 2015. They were literally singing to the track from the year 2000. It was bad.
Okay. Let's go back to Mimi.
Yes.
So
She
sang live. She had backup singers.
Backup singers. Yeah. But they were also singing live.
Yeah.
Like live to their own tapes that were edited in. Yes.
Yeah. So she was singing live. She did her signature. What do you call those things that she does at the end?
You call them vocalizations? Whistles?
Well, it sounds like she's without whistling, she's whistling.
Do you mean like when she goes like,
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
That's, yeah, you call them vocalizations or embellishments or whatever.
Okay. She sounded great. She...
Excuse me, you didn't say how on key I was just there, which I was, but anyway.
So, okay, so what else? Aside from the singing.
Yes.
What was the work that we admired?
On Mariah's part, she looked like she was having fun, which you know is always my number one in this scenario. If you're going to perform on something like this, you have to look like you're happy to be there. And she looked great. And, you know, her hair was defying gravity and moving around of its own volition. I was into that. I think she did her best to give the performance that we desperately needed her to, right?
I agree. I would have wanted her to do that from her bathtub.
Uh-huh.
However, I suppose if you have a home studio, as one does in their apartment in New York City, then
right,
you should,
then that's allowable.
Then you should perform from your home studio.
Right.
For sure. What did you think of the fact that they left her to the end?
I think that's the right move because it's going to be the most showy, if not show-stoppy, right? There are people who are more showy, but Dave Grohl doesn't end a show.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Keys doesn't end a show, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's not what they're for. So I thought that was great. I did wonder if they were going to get ambitious and have some sort of like duet go on with she and Elton, but no such luck.
Did you like how they lined up the shot?
How do you mean? Like that weird angle that she was at?
Well, we know about the angle and why the angle needed to be on that side of her face. I get that. But it seemed real tight.
Well, look, Elaine, you said it yourself, New York City. No matter how big a place you have, and you can have a huge apartment.
Duana.
No,
you've never seen Cribs. You've never seen her on Cribs.
Yeah, but a recording studio is not meant to be a big, vast room because then it echoes. You're meant to be in a small place so that you have some reverb. You saw that she had the baffling on the walls there. I bet you she was in her booth, which I've been in a lot of recording studios. The booth itself is not usually much bigger than that, unless it's supposed to contain like an entire orchestra. And even then, it's pretty cozy. I thought that was the realities of where we are. And probably there wasn't much to look at in there. I did notice, though, that if it is her home studio, most recording studios, most sound environments are, of course, black, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're covered. They're black. They're covered in black baffling or
uh-huh.
that like egg crate foam
yes.
that's like a dark gray,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hers, of course.
Perfectly lit.
All white. All white. We're not going to have any of that black shit around here.
No.
Don't tell me I'm going to go into some
no.
cocoon and sing late. Like, I don't want to be in a dark room. No, I want to be surrounded by white and opulence at all times.
I thought the shot was that tight because she either wasn't wearing pants.
Very possible.
Or didn't want us to see the pants that she was wearing. Yeah. So I thought that the shot was that tight for that reason. It could be it could be a space issue. I have a hard time believing that her booth would be tiny, but okay. But yeah, I was a little bit surprised that we didn't see, but I think that, yeah, probably the styling was from waist up.
I mean, look though, you've told me a million times she can be carried places when she needs to. She can be placed on stools if she needs to. So I'm not sure that she couldn't have wardrobed for this if she didn't want to or worn some giant diaphanous skirt that would hide the fact that it was unzipped at the back. She could have done any of the above. She could have been sprawled on a couch. I thought it was for booth reasons and like booth authenticity, if you will, because some of the other shots were not that tight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Tim McGraw did his out at his pool. So when you're talking
right.
about sound, like you could actually hear the wind still.
Yeah. So did Nick Carter.
But remember, he didn't have to worry about that.
I know.
On that note, that's a perfect way to end it, I think, this episode of Show Your Work. Thank you all so much for listening and for your feedback. We are collecting some emails. We'll see if we can get to them next episode, because you have all been telling us about your isolation, quarantine, working from home stories, and we really, really appreciate the insight.
Cannot wait to dig into those and all the news that, yeah, happily keeps coming at us. So we will see you next time.
Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, leave comments and messages. And until then, show your work. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.